I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for women over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi and welcome. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be talking with two parents about same-sex parenting in America. Is this the newest wave of non-traditional family units or just the wave of the future? Annie Warshawski-McCauley is a seasoned clinical nurse educator specializing in emergency medicine, teaching graduate-level courses. She has four children from a previous heterogeneous marriage and one adopted son from her current same-sex marriage. She's also in the process of considering adopting another child. Annie lent herself to the traveling art gallery show Nurture, Stories of New Midlife Mothers. Jason Howe is a veteran television reporter, writer, and civil rights activist. He is currently communications director for the LGBT rights organization Equality California. Jason and his husband, Adrian, became fathers to twin girls through surrogacy in India in 2012. So welcome, Annie and Jason. So let's start with some of your personal stories. Annie, tell me a little bit about your journey.
Let's start with, I was in a heterosexual relationship with my husband for 24 years. Not really a very communicative relationship. Not many mutual interests. We didn't have that profound respect for each other. Went through a period of where I was just constantly pregnant. Had all my four children within 5 years. And as they grew older and I was raising them, I think we just tended to grow apart. Eventually got divorced, and I did start becoming more friendly with a coworker of mine, female. That relationship just turned into, it found me. I didn't go looking for this relationship. It found me. And the things that I thought I could find in my previous relationship, I found with this partner, Cindy. We just grew together. We became best friends, bonded, found we had the same interests, same respect for each other, and our relationship just grew from that.
And Jason?
Well, I had always known I was gay, and I always knew I wanted to be a father also. And in fact, that was one of the main barriers to my coming out to myself when I was in college. I had been in a relationship for 4 years, but I still didn't really accept that I was gay, and even though I had never dated women because of that. And finally, I just had to decide that, I don't know how it's going to happen. It's not going to happen the ordinary way. I do know that much. So I kind of put it on a back burner. And that was also around the same time that Baby M, I think it was, the first surrogacy baby, was born, which was not a happy story, but at least it put in my mind the possibility of surrogacy. And so years passed. I was a TV reporter. I moved around the country. And 12 years ago, I met my now husband. And it's sort of funny. We had talked about having children. I didn't realize at the time that he wasn't really all that serious about it. So about 4 or 5 years in, we discovered the possibility of surrogacy in India, which was much, much, much less expensive than in the United States. We could never have afforded to do it here. And we went through a period where, suddenly he was saying, oh, whoa, wait, what are you talking about? I want to go to Machu Picchu. But finally, we talked it over the period of about a year and a half and went to India and had two beautiful daughters, and they're 4 years old now.
So I think that before we really get into the heart of this conversation, I was thinking about the fact that civil unions are just proliferating everywhere, and that for many people, for many years, the issue of either being gay or being together in a gay relationship, and then obviously to be in a gay relationship and have a family, it was almost a closed group. And I'm sure that was both because of fear and secrecy was a necessity, but I also think that it was an isolationist approach for other reasons, which then led to this kind of peeling back of the onion. And I sort of liken that all of the most recent federal changes and legislative changes are giving the rest of the world some idea of the fact that same-sex parenthood, civil unions are just the same as heterosexual ones. They just have a different configuration. So I wondered, as people who are in same-sex relationships who were besieged with heterosexual images and heterosexual relationships, and everything was always from a heterosexual point of view, now that the public is seeing you, is there something different you need to tell the public about the way in which you live and the families in which you're growing into? Annie?
Yeah, the research has been overwhelmingly positive and supportive for gay parenting and same-sex marriages. If you look around, I think you actually summed it up. We are peeling back that onion. We are showing that our parenting, our being together, is non-threatening. And if anything, it's promoting loving children, loving environment. There is no difference between the same-sex or heterogeneous relationship as far as parenting. If you look, even companies now coming out, the media has been helping too. Fisher-Price is on a new campaign showing, you know, their toys now for kids.
Yes, sure.
Now they're showing same-sex couples as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has brought it out into a very positive and supportive type of means right now. And I think we owe a lot of that to the media.
Jason, your thoughts?
Well, I think, unfortunately, we do need to keep saying it, because our opponents, they keep trying to bring up that we're not good parents. You still hear comments from really some surprising quarters, I think, from judges, from educators, from people who should know better. As Eddie was just saying, you know, there is virtually no research showing that children suffer from having same-sex parents, and the only study that I'm aware of that is still widely quoted, unfortunately, was broadly discredited. That was a study out of the University of Texas a few years ago by a guy named Mark Regnerus. It was commissioned by, I believe, an anti-gay group, and basically what he did was he compared children of divorce, in other words, children whose parents had left their opposite sex partner for a same-sex partner, with children who were raised in a stable heterosexual marriage. So he was really not looking at children of same-sex parents and comparing them to opposite-sex parents at all. He was looking at children of divorce. And yet, you know, the religious right tried to use this study as proof that children suffer. But there was just a study of studies, not too long ago out of Columbia University that looked at 77 studies dating back to 1980 on same-sex families. And only four of those 77 studies found the negative outcome for children. And even those did not control for family stability.
So in thinking about pursuing a family with your partners, you're talking about your partner having hesitancies, but that was really on a personal level. I'm wondering, in a broader societal perspective, did you have hesitancy in having a family and what the reactions might be from your family or your friends or your coworkers?
No, I didn't expect to get any resistance. We live in Los Angeles, and I think people here are fairly used to seeing same-sex couples with children. It's not extremely common yet, but people see us and know what's going on, and we haven't encountered any hostility. My own family, well, there were some underlying issues with the people in question anyway, but I think that I had a cousin who didn't like the idea of surrogacy in general, and surrogacy in India in particular, and she was already really not speaking to me, but she's because we did this, she stopped speaking to my mother as well. It had nothing to do with, you know, gay parenting or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And Annie, you're on the East Coast. Did you have any hesitancy in starting a family in a same-sex partnership? And what was your fear? And what kind of reactions did you get?
I think most of the friends and family in both our lives, I would actually call it celebratory. They really wanted to see us happy. They saw me unhappy for so long that this was just a joyous occasion. It really was. We are fortunate enough as well not to have encountered any type of hostility or anything around this area either. On a personal level, my kids were hesitant, and my older kids, and I believe it really was the cause from the divorce itself and other issues with my ex.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, when I did the tours with you with the pictures,
mm-hmm.
you'll notice that only my daughters were in that entire picture. They were my steadfast supporters. Mm-hmm. My sons wanted no part of my relationship,
mm-hmm.
my newfound relationship. They actually grew into that, and it took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still fragile. It's
mm-hmm.
a very fragile relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think so much because of the same-sex parenting, because they were exposed to that in our neighborhood as we were growing up. I really believe that more stemmed from personal issues with their father
mm-hmm.
and me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's still fragile, but they're very accepting. And now that we have our six-year-old son, I mean, they actually do call him, you know, their brothers, their sisters. So they're very supportive with him,
mm-hmm.
I think more so than even with us.
Jason, do you have any stats to offer us today?
Yeah. According to the Williams Institute at UCLA, which is sort of the go-to place for all statistics LGBT, 210 children under the age of 18 are being raised by a same-sex couple in the United States. About 1 million to 2 million of those kids are being raised by a single LGBT parent.
Hmm.
They say that an estimated a little over a third of LGBT Americans have had a child in some manner.
Mm-hmm.
A majority were conceived, like Annie, in different sex relationships. Not surprisingly, same-sex couples are up to five times more likely to be raising adopted children. Also, as you sort of alluded to, they're less likely to receive support of family.
Mm-hmm.
And one sort of humorous thing is that, and it shows that same-sex couples are really just the same as opposite-sex couples when they're raising children, but they exhibit similar declines in mental health and relationship quality when they have a new child, just the same as same-sex couples,
mm-hmm.
or opposite-sex couples, I should say.
I wouldn't know anything about that, but thank you for just mentioning that.
I can tell you a few things about it.
We're talking today with two parents about same-sex parenting in America. I appreciate the stats because I wanted to set the listener straight with this. What are some of the challenges to having a same-sex family, and what are some of the positives? Do you ever frame your life in those terms, Annie?
I don't. First of all, never being in a same-sex relationship before I met my current partner now, I had to make peace with myself. That was probably the biggest challenge and barrier. I was my own worst enemy. And the same with her. She had never been in a same-sex relationship as well. As a matter of fact, this is kind of funny, but I was trying to fix her up with men before we were together.
Yep.
Just wasn't working out.
Yep.
I don't know why. So that in itself was probably the biggest barrier, and it was myself, and I finally made peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still have fears. My fears are, at my age, will I be able to walk to Nate's graduation?
Sure.
You know, will I be around?
Sure.
Weddings, things like that.
Sure.
What will people think of the age difference? Will they say, hey, there's your grandmother?
Sure.
And that's, you know, so far that hasn't happened.
And Jason, challenges and positives to having same-sex families?
No, actually none. I don't think that things would be any different if we were a heterosexual couple.
Mm-hmm.
As I was saying, we have the support of our family. We have the support of our community. Even when we travel, we go pretty frequently to Spain, where my husband is from. Of course, Spain is also a pretty LGBT-friendly country, but we've had no issues at all being two gay dads.
And do you ever think of yourselves as pioneers or just one of the pack? And before you answer, I'm sure, Jason, being on the West Coast affords you a little less necessity and ability to be a pioneer when you're actually surrounded by more same-sex families. I think Annie probably feels it a little greater. Would you agree?
I consider myself a pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of the pack. I'm a pioneer because we do our own thing. We're accepted. We're loved by our family. We love our family. And if that inspires others in our social circle or the outer circles to do the same thing, then I'll take the credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And put it out there. This is who we are. This is what we are. I'm authentic. I will put it out there. I think there's a paradigm shift going on in the world. Look at celebrities themselves. It was focused more on divorce. Now they're focused more on gay celebrities and adopting. It certainly does help.
Sure.
And I think that, I think we are pioneers.
And Jason, I put the words in your mouth. Can I hear them from your mouth?
I would actually sort of agree. Even though we're not the very first, I think that it is still a new enough phenomenon. I think lesbian couples have, they called it the lesbian baby boom in the late 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. So there are more lesbian couples raising children than gay male couples. We weren't the first of our friends to do it. At the same time, though, we were aware that there are a lot of people who are watching us. You know, I hear from a lot of gay men, you know, that they would like to do something similar one day, and they ask me how we did it and that sort of thing. So I think we're definitely in towards the first wave of this.
Jason, you alluded to the fact that going to India for surrogacy was really an economic thing, but I have to believe that at least for the original same-sex couples, it may have been a necessity to pursue a dream like parenthood outside of the United States. Is there any truth to that statement?
Well, no. Actually, I think that it's sort of the reverse. I think the United States pioneered surrogacy.
For same-sex parents?
And for same-sex parents,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, India is much less friendly to LGBT people than the United States is. When we did it there, I did it basically as a single man. My husband wasn't on the birth certificate at all.
Is that on purpose?
It's because India doesn't recognize same-sex marriage.
Yep, okay.
So on their birth certificate, it just said my name and it said the mother was a surrogate.
Yeah.
You know, had they been born here, he would have been on the birth certificate from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering for either of you, is there any kind of wistfulness or sadness in the fact that given the same-sex partnerships you're in, it isn't possible to become pregnant in an easier manner? Do you have some sense of the fact that you are having to take an external route to parenthood? Does that ever hit you?
I can speak for the journey that Cindy and I took.
Mm-hmm.
We did sperm donation for
sure.
Nate. I mean, having four older children myself, I was fine with no more children. She really wanted to carry a child. She wanted to have her own, and I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So we pursued sperm donation. It took several attempts. She did get pregnant. And then after having Nate, we did decide, you know, maybe we would have another one. And after several attempts, when that's not working, it just gets frustrating, and the only other place to turn would have been adoption.
Sure.
And as Jason alluded to, there are foreign adoptions no longer because they don't recognize gay parenting. So now we are actually in the process. We've been home studied. We are looking to adopt an older child now.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is just a different way of looking at things, you know, the desire to continue parenting and just different options on how to do that. But it does get frustrating, that's for sure.
Jason?
I don't think so. I think that we both sort of felt it is what it is. And any sort of wistfulness, as you put it, it not, you know, for instance, both being the biological parents, it doesn't matter. He's every bit as much their father as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think so.
So what do you think are some of the misconceptions the general public has about same-sex parenting and same-sex families? Annie?
Oh, I think in some way, shape, or form, we were thought to not be following the American standard of family, which, I mean, we all know is kind of ridiculous, but it's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
The family of mother, father, and child. Like I said, I think we're getting a lot of help, but we have a long way to go before people recognize. When you look on TV, and now I'll see a commercial that'll be, you know, a same-sex couple or a same-sex family, a parenting with a child, and I actually have to bring that up, and I'll have to say, hey, Sam, come and look at this. This is awesome. I shouldn't have to do that.
Sure.
You know, it's just more exposure. I really think just keeping at it with more exposure. I mean, come on, it's been quoted to be the greatest civil rights battle of the 21st century.
It sure is. And Jason?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we shouldn't have to keep saying it, but we do have to keep saying it, that we are as good, if not even better, than heterosexual parents, you still keep hearing people saying, I'm trying to think of when it was, but in a lot of the court cases that we've had to fight, you hear people saying, not based on any evidence or anything, but people saying, oh, well, we all know that children do best when they're raised by their mother and father. Not just their mother and father, often it's their biological mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
No, children do best when they're raised in a stable, loving home with two parents who care about them. And you keep hearing these things. People aren't basing it on anything other than their own opinion. Again, a study out of the University of Texas said that same-sex parents give their kids 40% more quality time, so reading to them, playing with them, other things that help their development, than opposite-sex parents do. And also found that that women in same-sex and heterosexual relationships, as well as men in same-sex relationships, spend about twice the time, about 100 minutes of focus time a day, than men in heterosexual relationships do.
Hmm.
So we're not just as good, we're better.
Sure.
And you know, I think that a lot of that is because we don't have kids just because we're supposed to. We have kids because we really, really want to.
Yes, sure. And have gone an extra mile to do so.
Right. And so we've thought about all the changes. We thought ahead of time about all the changes that's going to mean to our life. And there's really nothing we want to do more than be with these kids.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel, Jason, are the things that need addressing in the United States still? I mean, I think the laundry list would be quite long, but in terms of either civil rights or the benefits for same-sex couples, maternal leave, what would you like to set your sights on next, and where do you think we're going?
Well, you know, as you said, with parental leave, I think that a lot of our interests are the same as heterosexual parents in that regard. What helps them will help us. And, you know, interestingly, and perhaps what I think, something I think that a lot of people will find counterintuitive, is that same-sex couples with children aren't just, you know, the two white, affluent gay guys living in the urban centers. The states with the highest percentages of same-sex couples with kids are places that might be surprising: Mississippi, Wyoming, Alaska. Racial or ethnic minorities account for more than a third of same-sex couples with children, and nearly a quarter of children being raised by same-sex couples are living in poverty. So a lot of the things that will help same-sex couples with children are things that will help the broader communities that they're part of. So if you're helping the African-American community or the Latino community, obviously you're going to help same-sex members of those communities as well.
Mm-hmm. And Annie, any thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree 100% with what Jason's saying. My only difference in there, and I just added in there, is not only from the lesbian aspect, but even as women, we're still fighting a battle for equal rights.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I did a show on that recently about the state of motherhood, and it's obvious that the last 30 years have brought just squeaking changes, not huge changes. We're running out of time, and I'm wondering if you have any more thoughts for the listener. Jason?
No, thank you for the opportunity to speak with your listeners a little bit and inform them a little bit more.
I think that a lot of them need to be informed. Annie, do you have any final thoughts for me?
No, I just want to thank you very much, and you know, we're nurturing families in an environment. It's the situation that makes it bad, not the families themselves, not our families.
Absolutely. We've been talking with two same-sex parents about the state of same-sex parenting in America. Annie Warshawski-McCauley can be found at TIGGR12 at AOL.com. Jason Howe at www.gayswithkids.com. Thank you so much, Annie and Jason, for joining me.
Thank you,
Sema. I'm Sema Shapiro, your host of Four Women Over 40. We had a really interesting discussion today, and thank you to the listener. Until next time, I hope you take care.